When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want to start with a quick multiple choice question for you guys. What's something that I, me, Liz, cannot live without? Is it A, coffee, or B, coffee? Yeah, there are only two choices here. If you guess coffee, then you guess correctly. Yes, I am addicted to that morning grind. That's sort of the caffeine kick, although I'm fine with decaf too, but I need extra hot coffee every morning with lots of foamy oat milk, one Truvia, and a dash of cinnamon. I know that's full-blown princess alert, but that's when I'm home. If I'm out and about, you guys know that this is a very crowded industry. I mean, there's a coffee bar on every corner, right? Starbucks, Dunkin', Pete's, Gregory's, Irving Farm in New York, and the up-and-coming Bigby Coffee, home of the famed Firefly Latte. Okay, they have a Firefly Latte. I'm going to tell you what that is in just a minute. But there is such a great story behind Bigby and the Firefly Latte and all the other lattes they offer, along with the literally dozens and dozens of different kinds of coffee drinks. Bigby's story is as diverse and fascinating. Founded 26 years ago in Lansing, Michigan, Mike McFall is the co-founder and co-CEO of Bigby, one of the largest and fastest growing coffee chains in the United States. But percolating beneath the river of success he's experiencing now is a story that began with a minimum wage job. These are my favorite kinds of stories, so let's get it straight from the barista businessman himself, Mike McFall. Welcome to Everyone Talks to Liz.
Liz, thank you. That was amazing.
I am amazing. Finally, can you tell my kids that?
A podcast that opens with a dramatic story. I love it.
My mom was a theater actress, so, you know, I do have a little bit of flair for the over-dramatization. First of all, we're thrilled because I love these types of journeys to unfold before our listeners, because this is what it takes to found, run, and succeed at a business, right? I mean, and I got to start with this because I'm interested. I usually have 1.5 cups a day. How many cups a day does a guy like you who runs a huge coffee chain drink?
Well, I drink, the math is between 14 and 16 shots of espresso a day.
What? 14?
You look surprised.
How are you not shaking like a leaf right now? Or are you?
No, I'm not. I'm doing all right. It's something that I drink what are called quad Americanos, which they have 4 ounces of espresso in each of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have anywhere from 3 to 4 a day. Usually I have 2 before I leave the house and then I go from there.
Okay. All right. So you're an addict. That's fine. I'm accepting of that. Okay. I want to really get to what I said, the beginning, the percolating story of all of this. Can we go back to the 90s? Where were you and what were you doing?
Well, you know, I think I started as a barista, as you mentioned, and I was on a research, very specific research project at Michigan State University. And so my mom is a professor there. And so I had, I'm going to keep rewinding. At my grandmother's funeral in October, I was with a colleague of my mom's. He had a very specific project he was working on. He invited me to come and work on that with him, with the idea being that I would be able to essentially handpick graduate school at that point, with his endorsement and the work I would be doing with him. And so that was only 20 hours a week. So I went around to every coffee shop in the greater Lansing area and applied. I just thought it'd be cool to work in a coffee shop. That was it. And so fortunately, I was hired at we had one store at the time, and I was hired by a woman by the name of Mary Roselle, who was my business partner's wife. And they built that store together, the first store. And so she hired me, and I worked 6 a.m. till 2 p.m. at the coffee shop. And then I would walk over to the university, and I'd work 2:30 to 6:30 on the research project, and then I would drive home.
Okay,
and
specifically, what year was this?
That would have been November of 1996.
Okay. All right. So I'm thinking in 1996, I was in Boston. Yes, Starbucks existed, but there weren't many others. And so I'm guessing you were one of these sort of Arabica, you know, sort of funky coffee houses, right? Just one.
We weren't. we weren't. We really have never been that sort of pretentious coffee environment. You know, you mentioned, you know, the Firefly latte, which I'm ashamed to say, I don't even know what the ingredients of that are. But
okay, I'll tell you.
We have thousands of these. And so, but we've always named our drinks. We like to say, like our caramel latte, for example, Starbucks names that a caramel macchiato, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a very pretentious way to say that drink. Oh. And so what we call it is a caramel marvel. And to us, it's like a superhero flying through the sky. We have grizzly bears. We have, you know, the chocolate covered Irishman. We have the Firefly. We have purple haze. And so we never were that affected Italianized version of the coffee bar. We've always been our own. We've always done our own thing from a branding perspective. And we think that makes us infinitely more approachable.
Okay, Mike. So you are a barista. Did you even call yourself a barista at that point?
Yes.
Okay. You're a barista. You're using at least that fancy name. And you're getting up very early to go every day and make coffee drinks. Were you exhausted at the time? Minimum wage. What did you like about it? What kept you coming back?
Well, I didn't know it at the time or beforehand, but I'm very much into hospitality. And so, you know, if you were to join me for dinner at my house, I would be, I would make sure that it was going to be a very pleasant experience for you. I would take care of your every need. We'd have an engaging conversation. It would be a nice event. And so when I was in the business and when I was working as a barista, I got to do that all day, every day. Mm. And I loved that part of it. I love making friends. I loved engaging people. I love surprising people with just sort of crazy nuanced. So a quick story. There was a guy that came into our store every day, and he would buy these gigantic caramel marvels with 6-8 shots of espresso in them. They were insane. And he was a landscape architect, and he always complained about maintaining his truck, right? Always. That was his thing. He was always complaining about it. So what I did was when he was in complaining about having to get the oil changed in his truck or something, I wrote 90 days out on the calendar. I wrote Bill Martin oil change truck. I couldn't wait for that day. Cause when he walked in, I was going to hit him with the fact that it had been 90 days since he got his oil changed. And I mean, just to blow his mind that I knew it would have been 90 days. So I just love that part of the business. And I loved showing up to work. I did. I loved going in there. I loved making coffee. I loved putting smiles on people's faces. That fundamentally was why I'm in the business today.
That's a big leap to go from that to, wait a minute, why don't I invest my future in Big B Coffee? How did you decide? What was that moment where it crystallized for you? Hold on, let's do something here. Let's grow this.
Well, point one, it didn't take a rocket scientist to see what was going on in specialty coffee at the time, right? So, you know, it was coming at us, you know, like a freight train. The market was, you know, so ripe. And so, you know, it wasn't hard to see that. But secondly, and more importantly, I realized that my business partner was doing something very, very different in the coffee industry, much different than anybody else. And so, you know, he had a restaurant background, high volume restaurant background. And we were running, and we still run our coffee shops like they're high volume kitchens, not cute, quaint little espresso bars. Okay. And so I definitely sensed, one, an opportunity in the marketplace, but two, I also knew that we were doing something different and something better. And that still exists today. And you know, but then also we ended up, how this went down was, I was a barista. They were building a second store. I they approached me about becoming a manager at the second store. And, you know, I said, yeah, I'm interested, I guess, but I'm really on this other track. I'm headed back to graduate school. And so I sat down with my partner, Bob, and in sort of an interview type style, because I worked with Mary in the mornings. Bob came in at 3 p.m. And so I never saw Bob ever. And I didn't know him at all. And so when we sat down to have this interview, it was this beautiful spring day in March. And we ended up popping up and going for a walk. Well, 4.5 hours later, we were behind our store shaking hands and agreeing to put a company together, the two of us.
Wow.
And that's the company that we own today. That's the company that is, you know, 98.5% of my net worth is that one company. And so we shook hands and when we've been building it ever since. The next day I walked to the university, I resigned my position there, and I'm in the coffee business now.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So listen, I love that because look, the PhD, pilot, higher and deeper. I came from a family which was education, 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 keep going, keep going. But as I learned with journalism, it's better to actually be at the plane crash than to learn how to cover a plane crash in a classroom. So I turned down graduate school in journalism and I worked overnights delivering newspapers at my local station. So I get it. I get that gutsy move there. But after that first meeting, how do you then realize, wait, this is going to be a lot harder than it looks?
You know, I think you got to keep the grand scope in mind, and then you just have to commit to long-term. And too many people just give up too early. I see it all the time with our franchise owners. You know, the franchise owners that aren't successful, who sell the store, it's like, I just want to tell them, it's just right around the corner, you know, like just stay in it a little bit longer. And you know, so we've just been staying in it one day, every day, doing it and doing the best we can every single day when we wake up. And it's working out.
Talk about the hard times when you were first starting. Were there points where you thought, what have I done? What am I doing? Should I give up?
No, I don't think there was ever a day that I thought I should give up. There were really hard times. You know, we were put in default by our bank. That was horrendous. And we had some really scary stuff happen. But to me, and I write about this in my book, it's the most glorious game in the world, you know, and I approach it that way. You're in a game, you're going to have setbacks. You're going to have problems. Things are going to go wrong. But when you're committed to the end result of winning the game, you don't give up. Like, you just don't give up ever. And so that's the game I'm playing. And I won't ever give up.
We're not done yet. We'll be back in a moment.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/claimin. Just go to Indeed.com/claimin right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/claimin. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Bigby started doubling location numbers every year. At what point did you look at the landscape and say, wait a minute, we could become huge?
Well, last year, frankly.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've always known we're going to become huge. But when did it become really apparent? You know, we signed 85 contracts last year.
During the pandemic?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So we're 250 units open, but we have 127 contracts to be open. And so, you know, that's an astronomical number. And so right now it's feeling like we are pacing to grow very, very quickly.
You just referenced a really scary moment. where you defaulted on a loan. Tell me about that moment. What led to it, and how did you deal with the bank and the fear of losing business, the business?
Well, first, we made a mistake. We were doing what we thought was appropriate, which was, you know, sending in financial statements every month. But we'd also made a commitment to our business partner that we would absorb two of his stores into a group of stores that we owned. Okay. He owned 50% of our group, and we were going to absorb these two other stores. Well, I didn't go to the bank and tell him I was going to do that. And what happened was, is those stores were bleeding from a cash flow perspective. And when I brought them on board, our balance sheet went upside down immediately, like very, very quickly. And, you know, from a cash flow perspective, we were going to be able to see it through, you know, because we did. And so we were going to be able to see it through. But the problem was, is I didn't go to them. If I had gone to them and explained to them what I wanted to do, they would have told me I can't. Right. So maybe that's why I didn't go to them. But I took the ratios of our balance sheet outside of the covenants of that loan. You know, I didn't know exactly that then that that's what I was doing. But I did that. And so they had every right in the world to default. They should have defaulted. They immediately took every dime of cash that we had, both personally and professionally. They raised our interest rate from 7% to 11.5%.
Come on.
Almost doubling our payment. And, you know, it's just, but the thing is once you're put into default status, you get somebody who's assigned to you that you don't know. So you leave the relationship that you have with you know, the bank, and now you're assigned, I think at that time they were called workout specialists. And so you get assigned this workout specialist, and their job is to liquidate you and get as much money as they possibly can in that process. And so, you know, the only thing that saved us is we had a relationship with another banker, and he lent us the money and got us out of the spot, but it was horrible. And so, you know, I could go into more hair-raising details around all of that, but, you know, I guess in that moment, I didn't think about giving up. It just hardened my resolve. It's all it did. It was like, we are going to get through this.
It's pretty obvious you've had a lot of sleepless nights over the years. Do you still have sleepless nights?
Absolutely. I keep building more and more complexity into my little world, you know, and if I could throw it in neutral and coast, it would get easier, but I keep taking on more and more, and it's great. I love it, you know, but I'm in a particular situation right now that is pretty complicated and surprisingly political. And so I was in a conversation with my mom this morning telling her about it. And, you know, she said, Mike, you've been in this situation 100 times. You just, you know, do what you do. Everything's going to work out okay. And, you know, but it never gets easier. And that's, it doesn't matter that I've got more security now, or, you know, that we have more success. It doesn't get easier. And I don't really know what that's about. I think it's because it's because I care. If I didn't care, I probably wouldn't have, I would sleep fine, but I care deeply. And so when things are a struggle, it does weigh on me.
Passion obviously is so important to becoming a successful business leader like yourself. What would you say is the number one characteristic that anybody listening really needs to have if they are going to launch something that they really feel?
We've been waking up every single day trying to sell one more cup of coffee today than we did yesterday for 26 years. And, you know, the part of the problem that happens to entrepreneurs is that when you start to struggle, you divert your attention from maybe what the core product that you're bringing to the marketplace is. And you try to bolt on all these different things, these different levels of complexity. And that just makes the business harder. And if we could wake up the next day and sell one more latte, you know, when I started in the business as a barista, we were selling under 300 cups a day. And that was, I remember when we crossed 300 and for the first time. And now we'll sell somewhere in the range of about 100,000 cups today. Right.
Stop. So,
isn't that cool?
That is so cool.
I know. And so, but that's focus, right? We haven't done anything else. It's what we do every day, all day. And so I think that would be my answer don't. I had a guy call me one time. He and his buddy had opened a pizza shop. And he called me and he had too much space in this building. And he said, "Hey, Mike, you know, I think what I want to do is if I carved out like, you know, 1200 square feet in our building, can we put a Bigby Coffee in there? And, you know, I really think that would help with our revenue and, you know, we could be more profitable and so on." And my answer was, and he's a good friend of mine, but my answer was like, "That's a really dumb idea." And there was this long pause and he's like, "What do you mean?
Pizza and coffee.
Well, but you could have a suite. You could have two suites, one with pizza, one with coffee. They would be independent of each other. But my point is that you're in the pizza business and you haven't figured out how to sell pizzas. You're struggling. You can't sell pizzas. So you think trying to figure out how to sell pizzas and then trying to figure out how to sell cups of coffee is going to save you? That's crazy. Either figure out how to sell pizzas or shut the thing down. But see, that's focus, right? Mm-hmm. Focus in on selling pizzas.
And the persistence piece of all of this. Yeah. Never say die. Before we end this, I have a question for you. And I will end with explaining what the Firefly Latte is. And then I need to hear what the Purple Haze Latte is from you. But you do now have success. You've got some money here. Your dream expenditure. What do you love that you think about? I really want to buy that.
Well, I just did it last week. Yeah, I did. I bought my parents a boat.
Oh.
Yeah. It's awesome. So we're sharing it. I mean, the deal is they've got to help maintain it, use it. They lived on their previous boat. And so they're going to live on this boat primarily, you know, and they got to help maintain it, but then they also have to teach me how to use it. And so it's there's an upside for me on this deal is because I'm going to get to learn how to use this boat. So it's cool. It's a boat that, you know, I can take my whole family on and I'm super excited about it.
You'll tool around Lake Michigan?
Well, we'll actually take it. We hope to take it back and forth to Florida every year. So we'll leave Michigan in the fall, take it to Florida. It's maybe a 4 to 6 week process, and we'll have it in Florida for the winter, and then we'll bring it back in the spring. And so that's the plan. In fact, I'm leaving Friday to go down for a week on the boat to start bringing it north to Lake Charlevoix.
Okay. You said you still don't relax to this day. I need you to relax on the boat because that's what you're supposed to do, at least at certain points during the very stressful world of growing this business. All right. Finally, here we go. The Firefly Latte is cinnamon, vanilla, and white chocolate with 50 milligrams of caffeine. Yum. Now you've got to reveal what the Purple Haze Latte is.
The Purple Haze Latte is caramel and blackberry. It's delicious. Mm. It's as good as it sounds.
How many grams of fat? Do I even want to know?
Oh, it's probably in the range of 10.
Oh, I want to see Big B's on every corner in New Jersey, at least, which is where I'm sitting at the moment. But listen, congratulations. And it is a work in progress. That's life. You've written a book about your journey and your process and your climb. What's it called?
My book is called Grind. It's a no BS approach to take your business from concept to cash flow.
Perfect. Okay, there you are, everybody. If you didn't get to absorb all of this in the podcast because you're driving or you're distracted, there's the book, Grind by Mike McFall. And I hope that our listeners have really seen you start as a barista, minimum wage, and now you're growing this incredible company. Thank you so much, Mike, for sharing your story.
Thanks, Liz. It's been a pleasure. It's been fun.
Anytime. Mike McFall of Big B. Hey, listen, everybody. Mike, like everybody else, doesn't want to just make money. They want to save it. They want to grow it. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Fox Business Network. It's called the Clayman Countdown. Hello. Watch me every day. You'll learn more about the stock market and maybe growing some of that money. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.